starting on the test of an olive in the Ran. Diver Masko Mesway. About 9 lines down to the wider lines. So we had a machlokes. We had a machlokes over here, how to learn up the din of the Mishnah of being Mavakar, and why Amida yes and Yeshiva no. And the more brother Mesway, the difference between the person and himself, the person and his son, that he can be the father, the mother, but not the son. Samor says, well, so was the case. Samor says, according to Ula, Nichas Cholu Nazavakar, Hanu the Shani Bein Hu the Vnoi. So according to Ula the Cholu Hu, why can he visit him? Nichas Zavakar Mishum to Mistam mean Chiyu Seiloi Adre. We have a halachic assumption. He did not mean to answer. When a person is madur, is makes himself aser b'hanor from somebody, he doesn't mean to aser that which is his needs. With chol benoi, we don't have that assumption. Shalom b'shuk, you can ask him how he is b'shuk. But mutzal lichnus the vaso, he can't come into the house. Because that we can't assume that automatically he meant to not exclude in his netter the benefit of his child. This is my proof. The chirmina min chiyu said loy adre mistamahu d'amar hachi alba gavdol leporish. So the case of this idea that Ula is saying that mechiyu loy adre is not because the person said that explicitly. That's a halachic assumption. And he being in the parish, so kati kashalula maishnahu maishnah benoi. If Ula's din is depending upon the fact that the person said explicitly, I don't mean to aser my chiyus, so then, so was it between the father and the son? Why? He parish betavayu ashori, vila parish betavayu aser. So why you're assuming that he said this, he didn't say that. Why is that the assumption of the case? So if it's a case that you need that the person should be explicit, then we would not understand the logic difference between the two. Alavari b'stama askinan. So we see that Ula's din is based on the case of stam. B'stam ha'vikim afarish l'gabi didei amalo l'gabi brei. And even though it's only stam, we assume that he meant vis-a-vis himself, not to answer these needs. But by his child, we can't assume that. So according to Ula, we understand that it's the father and the son. But according to Shmuel, says the case was the opposite. Ula said the case was that the mother got sick, so the mother, who's also to have benefit from the mother, is coming to visit the mother, going into the house and getting benefit from going to the house. But that's okay because the mother wants that. According to Shmuel, the case was the other around, that the mother is visiting the mother, and there was some more. So what's the difference between the shenichse mevaker a sermon alachayla? So the mevaker who can't give benefit to the chayla is allowed to visit. Why? So why is he mutter? Because he's visiting for the mitzvah purposes. So what's the difference between that and the son? Ma'ashnehu ma'ashneh benoi adar b'klomer adar b'benoi shari tvei shenim mutter b'menu. If anything, the logic is he should be allowed to visit the son because the son he's not mutter from. And the fact that the father appreciates that this fellow is visiting the son, that's definitely a hanor, which is memela, which is mutter. If the case was that he's mutter from the son as well, so again, what's the difference? But tomorrow, east on the Mamer, Nichlas of Vakra Oymed, he's allowed to go in and be Mavakra Chela Oymed, which is the same, the Shem Mitzvah. So Shmuel says, in. You're right. The Braisa Musukma Bashanik Sechalab Asur Malamavakar. The case of the Braisa was that the Reuven, who is the mother, is sick, and Shimon, the mother, is coming into Reuven's house and visiting him. And we're saying that even though normally Shimon can't come into the house, but for the purpose of Bikur Cholim, Reuven did not mean to usher Shimon's entrance. The Medina of the time of Didoch, I agree with your argument. The Mistama Michiuse Le Adre. Okay. So why do you learn the Mishnah like that? Because, but Vamina Nami Tveminoch, furthermore, this logic that you're saying that he did not mean to usher Shimon's entrance into the house for the purpose of visiting him when he's sick. So I hope it, but in that scenario he would want the visitor to sit because he'll stay longer. And that's Reuven's needs. So he didn't mean to answer that. I can't learn the Mishnah the way you did. That Shimon is visiting Reuven. Shimon the mother is visiting Reuven the mother, because that's the case. The Yochai Filo Yoshev Nami Shori, the Shimon Nami, the Mavakar Chiyusid the Chelo Hu Beloy Adre. Even having the Chelo sit is beneficial for the Chelo.
You said the Chelo sit.
He meant
yeah. Okay. Thank you. So therefore, Shmuel says I can't learn the Mishnah like that. But in logic, I agree with you. That's the case of the Braisa. But when you look at Kaimel and Kishmuel, the Kimer, the Rabbah, Mafarish, Milsei, Ba'omer, the Masisin, Deka Lehachi, Hilchos Kabosei. So we pass them like Shmuel, and the Mishnah is Meduyik like Shmuel. So it comes out like this: that Hilchah. But Shmuel agrees to Ula, but he takes Ula a step further. That's also part of his passing like Shmuel. So it means the scenario where Reuven got sick, Reuven the matter got sick. If we pass him like Shmuel, Shmuel agrees to Ula. He says it's not the case in the Mishnah, but he agrees to Ula. He just says he takes Ula then a step further. So if you pass like Shmuel, it's also included in passing like Shmuel that you pass in his version of the of Ula's halacha. That i.e., if Reuven got sick and Shimon the mutter is coming to visit Reuven, it's mutter even yeshiva. Yeshiva nami chiyusid the chaylohum. Adre the b'hachi nichale. So Reuven did not mean to usher Shimon coming into his house and sitting down if that's going to benefit Reuven. Okay. Al-Bachola Benoi, lo yukonos abeso klal, but we can't make that assumption. He wants that for his son. El-Shalom B'shuk. Now, Zatar Ram, we could have two scenarios how Shimon is usher B'hanoah from Reuven. One is that Reuven asked Shimon, and then we say, well, Reuven asked, when Reuven did that, he did not mean to do that if it's going to be for his own personal benefit. Reuven did not mean to ask Shimon if Reuven's going to gain from it. We also have a scenario where Shimon asked having hung off from Reuven. Okay, so the round, the Reuven, who's now the Chayla, is the one who asked on Shimon. We have this estimation. We're assuming that his thought process was who the mean chiyusei loyadre. Abel hechashem avaker also alatz manichse the chaser shalchaylo. the case where Shimon answered having Hanor from Reuven, and after Reuven got sick, so you can't assume that Shimon meant to exclude for Reuven's benefit. So you cut us a base of cloud. Okay, so we can't make such an assumption. So he meant the aser, so he can't go in the house. Hadeiru dino the nixechela aser malam avaker. That's that direction. Where Shimon is coming to visit Reuven, but hecha nixim avaker aser malachelo. But a case where Shimon got sick, so now the mother Reuven is visiting Shimon the chelo, the mother. So then nichus levakar oimed, the mishum dechuiv laaser spechinim, the mitzvah dileika of it. So Reuven can come to visit Shimon because that he's there's no pay for that. He's doing his own mitzvah. And Shimon just the Shimon's benefit is coming as an automatic extension of what Reuven's doing, but it's not direct. But Reuven can't sit. But he can't stay there. He can't sit because they might stay for too long. Okay. This dimmer is saying right now that Reuven is visiting Shimon. Reuven, the mother, is visiting Shimon, the mother. The nichus levakar oimed. This idea that we're saying that he's allowed to stand mishum the mitzvah the napshe kovid veidach memelo mishani. That Reuven's really he's directly being involved in doing something which is his mitzvah, and Shimon's hanoah is just secondary. Hani mili b'chiyah gabna the hanoah memelehi. That's only going to be matter. And this hanor, which Batsim is indirect hanor. In other words, the hanor, in halacha, hanor doesn't mean pleasure, it means benefit. Right? So, Reuven said, then you can argue, listen, if service is also considered a benefit. Well, the visiting is a service. So we say, no, he's not servicing you, he's doing his mitzvah. And that which you're getting, that benefit is memela. But he would give him something. So, but to give him something that you can't do, and that's the case later on, which we're going to see. Shimon can't get benefit from Reuven, and Shimon now doesn't have what to eat. So Reuven can go to his shopkeeper, which Reuven is willing to do this arrangement. Reuven is a regular customer. But Yermeloi says Shimon, he can't make the shopkeeper a shliach because the vayter is usher. He says, listen, this fellow Shimon over here doesn't have what. Take care of him, and you won't lose. So then the shopkeeper is not acting as a shliach, and it's mutter. But why do you say Reuven just gave it straight to Shimon because he's doing a mitzvah? Because he's giving him something of actual value. The mitzvah part won't be mad to that. The argument over here is not because he's doing a mitzvah, it's okay. The argument here is because you're being involved in doing a mitzvah. You're not coming to service the person. You're doing the mitzvah. And the service is memela, but if you're giving him something, it's not going to help. If they were traveling, so the only two of them, so Reuven puts it down onto the rock, is mafker it, and Shimon comes and takes it. Why can't you give it directly? Can't give it directly. The mitzvah of it. Obviously, he's saving a life. His mom is doing a mitzvah. But time also the community, like I said, the dafka hanor the memela sharia b'makom mitzvah, but hanor the biyadayim loy. So any direct act of benefit would be usher. It's just this idea, which is it's not a direct act of benefit. It's an action of mitzvah, which Shimon gets a benefit out of. Okay.
So it sounds like direct interaction between the two is the problem.
Correct. Correct.
Which sounds like we need to refit that back into that, visiting somebody that's sick.
Well,
that's directly between the two, I would think. Maybe it's not.
No, there's no action. I'm not doing anything. I'm walking in the house and saying hello. I'm not interfacing with you. If I would, you'd ask me to pick up the bed, move the bed, I'm doing something for you. That's a problem. If I'm just visiting, I'm visiting, and merely you're appreciating that. So since the reason why I'm visiting is not because I'm here, because that's part of your service, but I'm visiting you because I have a mitzvah to visit, that's where we argue. There's no argument that mitzvah makes it that I'm really being Isaac in my own thing, and you're getting a benefit memela. Right, which is just, it's sort of happening out of that. But if it wouldn't be a mitzvah, that wouldn't be mitzvah either. That's a form of service. I'm coming to visit you. I'm servicing you. The visit itself is a service. But the point is that type of argument, mitzvah can override. But if it's direct act of benefit, mitzvah can't help you. Okay, something more. We're going to move into the Inyanim HaBikur Cholim.
Can I just ask about tefillah? So it's mispalel for the chol. The chol is not allowed to get anah from you.
Yeah, that would be mutter. Normally, again, it's a spiritual benefit, which might have physical repercussions, but it's not a direct. It would be also. The issue normally is what we derive as a physical benefit. Amrish Lakish, Remez of Bikur Cholim in a term of 9. So Bikur Cholim obviously is a form of chesed, but is there a specific example in Torah that or directive in the Torah that you're supposed to do this specific act of Bikur Cholim, as opposed to it's the general, under the general umbrella of doing chesed? So shenemrim kimois kol adam yimusin eilu ufkadas kol adam yipaked aleihem. Okay. So Moshe Rabbeinu says regards to the Karat Dosan Aviram, that if they're going to die the regular death, and that which is hokud on people is going to happen to them. So my mashma, what are you saying in the pasuk? Amarava im kemois kol adam yusin eila shem chalim umutolim berisasim. They're ill, and that's now the standard operating procedure. People get ill, they're lying in bed. When they adam mevakar nusam. So then, my brief story, I remember Lo Hashem Shlokhani. So that if that's what would happen to them, then Hashem didn't send me for this, what I'm doing was that, for this. But if that's not going to happen like that, which is what happened, Hashem sent me. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that the normal procedure is that they get ill, and there's a pekida. Pekida means they visit. People get ill and people visit them. So here the Torah is saying that there's a, you know, a visiting person who's sick. Okay. Dorish Rava. Yimbriya Yivra Hashem. So what is Yimbriya Yivra Hashem? If there's a creation, Hashem should create. That sounds like a little bit of a steer on the pasuk. So Yimbriya Gehenim Mutavatiya. If Gehenim has already been created, fine. Imlav, if it hasn't been created yet, Yivra Hashem. Hashem should create it now. Any, is that true? Votanya, there's a question whether it had been created or not. We know in the Brisa says, Shiva the worm Nibru, Kadim Shinivra Ha'olam. There's 7 things which were created before the world, which means that the. That to create the makom, not in a physical sense, but in the conceptual sense, that there should be an existence of the world, these things have to be in place. Elohim, Torah, Uchuba, Ganenin, the Gehenim, Kisei Akab, the Beis HaMikdash, Ushmoshel Mashiach. So these seven things have to be in place for creation to take place. So Gehenna is there prior to the Bria. Torah of Siv, Hashem can only raise his dark. Hashem took possession of the Torah as Rashi's, the first step in his path. Before the mountains were created, and it says, the pasuk thing, it says, so before the world was created, the Rosh Hashanah already created the concept of tshuva. So Mikedem over here is not referring to a place, it's referring to a time. First, Tifta is the name for Gehenna, because it's a place that people which have been convinced, Lashon of a Pesi, Yimafata a Pesi. The reason why a person is called a Pesi is a fool, because he can easily be convinced. So Tifta is the place where people which are convinced get to go. It was already a ruch. It was already set, arranged. May I smell from before, from the day before. That was already in place from then. Then referring to before the creation. Basically, to see kisei kavod marom meri shon. So it was there meri shon from the beginning. Shmosh Mashiach to see he shmoil olam. It's a possibly referring to until Ayin Beis, referring to Mashiach, and it says his name was there Lo'olam forever. Okay, so these seven things are have to be in place before the world can be created. So there's no question that Gehenna has to be there. So what was Moshe saying? If yes, if no, what does that mean? So Moshe meant like this. If Gehenna, which exists, has an access point in this world, mutzav, nice. Vimla yivrasha. If not, the Russian should create it now. V'haksiv, how can you say that Hashem should create it now? It says Ein Kol Kodesh Tachas HaShomesh. The Russian is not going to change anything, make anything new under the sun. So the Puma of the Gehenna exists, but Ihocha if the access point is not near, the Bereshit should make the access point near. That's not called a new creation. Okay. Okay. Let's see the ground. So the visiting of all people, well, they will be visited. Shiva Devarim Nivru Kadam Shinivru Hoylam. So the Ran Klaimer Sholom Machshavah Lihibaris Kadam Shinivru Hoylam. The Bereshit had intent that these things should be there for to create the framework that the world should be, exist in. The Bereshit had to conceptualize these ideas beforehand. Because the world cannot exist without them. So, if that was there conceptually, means it's there. But Kadosh Baruch Hu, once it's conceptualized, it means it exists. So, this is the framework of the Bria. It has to be there beforehand. Just making moving the access point is not called something new. That would be precluded under the pasuk of Ein Kol Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh.
Moving to what point? The access point, you said? Oh, yeah, portal, like portal.
Portal, yeah.
Okay.
Darsh Rava, Dalimar. So Rabbi made the Jerusha, or Rabbi Yitzchak made the Jerusha. Ma'adik Siv Shemesh Yireach Amad Zebulah. The pasuk says in Habakkuk that Shemesh and Yireach Amad, they stand Zebulah in the place of Zul, which is one of the names for Shemayim. So Zot the Gemara, this is Rabbah talking. Shemesh v'Yireach v'Zvul, my bayan. What are they doing in Zvul? V'Abrikia Kivi. So they're in the place called Rikia, and Zvul is a different level of Shemayim. And they've already been placed in Rikia. So what do they mean that they're Omad Zvulah? They're standing in Zvulah, in Zvul. Malamed Shalosh Shemesh Yireach Mirikia Lizvul. They went up from Rikia up to Zvul, which is the highest level of Shemayim. V'amar lefanav, and they went to say to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Im ata oseh din leben Amram, if you will take care of Ben Amram, his request will be honored, and you're protecting Ben Amram, Moshe. Ona me'irim, we will continue to give light to the world. V'im lav, if however you don't, ein ona me'irim, we will not continue to give light. Okay.
Threatening, okay.
They're not threatening, right? They're saying that, you know, that the existence of the Bria, which their role is to give light to the Bria, can't be under the circumstances that Moshe Rabbeinu will be undermined. That's going to undermine the whole status of the Bria. Baruch Hashem, so the Baruch Hashem responded with Yara behen chitzin bechanisus. The Baruch Hashem sent against them, obviously it's not physical, but as if he was shooting arrows and throwing spears against them. He forced them back into place.
Arrows and spears.
Omer lehem, kol yom yom mishtachim lechem. You never came by and say, Rishon, we can't continue to give light because all these people are worshiping the sun and the moon. For a covenant of Kadosh Baruch Hu, you do not make a protest. So now, but when it comes to Ben Amram, you're making a protest. So this now became the operating procedure that they work under pressure, which is the end of the passage. So that the Shemesh and Yireach only continue to give light under this duress, which means that they accept the Rishon's taina, and they say really they should not really continue to give light to the world under the circumstances that they are being used for the purpose of drawing people away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu service, but the Bershom is forcing the Bria to continue even under these less than optimal reality that the Bria will continue to exist. Okay. Zuck the Ran. Well, Rikia could see be ten or some Lakim Rikia Shemayim. Zula Malamin Rikia who could eat the Parakane Darshan. Zula is a higher level. If you will address appropriately Moshe Rabbeinu's arguments with Karach, we will continue. Now the question is, the pasuk says that the sun went up to Shemayim and the moon went up to Zvul. Doesn't say the context when that was. How do we know it's referring to the machlokes of Karach? Maybe it was something else, some other occurrence. Even if you'll say this drasha that there was this conversation between that and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which resulted in Kadosh Baruch Hu pressuring them to do it. Anyway, who said it was talking about Karach? There's other scenarios where it could have taken place. The Mashul the high crow benachlus the shokarach midrash mishum the bitzis mitzrayim kris yamsuf mishtoy b'sevich habakuk. The context is the process of bitzis mitzrayim. There it says, "Rakatz the roish mibeis rasha." You cut off the roish from the beis rasha. Mashul hu dahanu kerach. See basrei shemesh yireach on matzibula. So it's not referring to Abram going to war and them saying, "If you, Bershom, you save Abram, good. If not, we're going to knock it out light." You know, it's referring to specifically in the context of the process of Klai Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim. So in that it says Mechatz Rosha, which is referring to Karach, and then it says Shemesh Yirech L'Mazula. Okay. So we started off with Bikur Chayalim. We got into this pasuk by Karach, and we ended up having a conversation about Karach a little bit. Back to Bikur Chayalim. Tanya, second line, wide line of the Gemara. Bikur Chayalim ain lo shir. There's no limits. So my endless shir. So what does it mean that it has no limits? So Rabbi Yosef the member ain shir lematan schara. There's no limit to how much reward you get. Karmalei Abai. So Abai says Rabbi Yosef. Is there any limit to any mitzvah? We have no concept of the schar mitzvahs. Ella Amar Baya, what does Einlo Shir mean? I feel a God lights a cotton. Even though the visitor is somebody of greater stature, and he's visiting somebody of much lesser stature, so he still has the chiyuv to do that. So it means there's no limit to who it applies to. Rav Amar Afilu Me'a Pamim B'Yom means the amount of times that you visit. Amar B'Acha Bar Chanina from the Lakar Chalot Nitzel Echad Mishishim B'Tzara. Each visitor takes away 1/60th of the illness. So Omer Rebbe Omer Le Abaya the Rav. Okay, so Rebbe Acher Rechanina said this this idea that each visitor takes away the illness. So Abaya says, "I have a great cure." In Cain, Leil, and Shitin, we'll look more. Let 60 people visit him one time, and you'll get him out of bed. You get him back to health. You'll stand him up, and that's what happens. First of all, it's 1/60th of the remaining illness. So each person has diminishing returns in what they take away. Each visitor takes away 1/60th of the illness, which is remaining after the previous visit. So if you picture this person had X amount of illness in him, so the first visit takes away 1/60th. Now that the amount of illness that the person has is smaller, the next visitor takes away 1/60th of that new level of illness that he has. So each visitor is taking away less and less of the illness, because the illness has become small. And but the Morris says further, so this would be Rava answering. Abai asked Rava, so Rava's answering that it's only each one is gets Yisrael to the Rebbe. Now, what's that a reference to Yisrael to the Rebbe? That the Mishnah says when a person, the father dies before he's married off his daughter, so a tenth of the Nechasim are designated for the purpose of marrying her off. So what about if he has 10 daughters and some sons? What's supposed to happen over there? Each one gets a tenth of that, and the sons have nothing. No, so each one gets a tenth of the remaining amount. So the first girl who gets married gets 1/10 of the property. The next girl gets 1/10 of the remaining property. So that's referred to as Yisrael to the Rebbe. And so Rebbe said you're supposed to calculate.
He's gone. The father's gone. Who's holding this money?
We would put in some of the best girls. Basim would oversee it.
At some point, hopefully, it's going to be distributed. And if they're 50 years old and they're never married, I mean, so now the other siblings. Whatever. Okay.
Ben Giloy, the more says, but even this idea that takes away illness is only if they're of the same, they are the same mazel. Okay, the Tanya. Rabbi Amar Bas and Yizanis Minichse Achin, and the tells Iser Nechasa, a daughter who's in the state that she's receiving the support, she also gets one tenth of the property in regards to marriage. Amal the Rabbi. So they asked Rabbi the Debarecha, according to you, Mi Sheesh Lo Eser Bonus, Uben, he has 10 daughters and one son, Ein Lo Leben, Mokim Bonus, Klum, the son will end up with nothing. Amalehen, Rishon and Nutellus, Isra Nechosid, the first one who gets married takes one tenth, and Shnia, Mamash Yeshayra, the second one takes one tenth of what's remaining. So, if they had the property worth $100, the first one takes $10, the second one takes $9, right? So the third one takes $8.1, etc. Shishis b'masha shai rabbi chayzus v'cholkus b'shavim. Now, it's not fair. The first daughter got more than the last daughter. So after this going by 10 times, they will take the full value, the conglomerate value of everything, and then divide it in 10 portions, equal portions. Okay.
What happens to what's left in that formula?
It goes to the son.
The very small amount, the little teeny amount that's left. Okay.
I don't know. What is there a formula to, math formula to?
0.9 to the 10th. It's not very much.
Okay.
Right. Exactly.
The
little teeny amount he gets.
Zakra the Ran, Kisarai said the Rebbe. Each one takes one tenth of the remaining property. Over here, so each visitor takes away 1/60 of the remaining illness. If the visitor has the same type of spiritual makeup as the one who's ill, he takes away part of the illness.
How do we understand that?
How does it take it away, or how, why daf if he's in the same mazel?
Yeah, why daf?
Say someone's not from visiting a non from.
No. Mazel means. Mazel means, the Ramchal says, mazel means the person's purpose in the Bria. Each person has a designated purpose that he's supposed to, role that he's supposed to play in the world. And if the person has a similar type of function, so then we can say that the illness which belongs to one, it potentially could belong to the other, because they have a similar type of function. Whereas if Reuven has a role to play which is not in any way, shape or form similar to what Shimon's role is supposed to play, so he has no connection at all to Shimon's illness, the part of Shimon's illness should transfer to him.
So it's not taking away the illness, it's transferring.
Yeah, the visitor takes part of it himself.
Okay.
If they're all coming and getting their answers, it's only true they're getting at the same time. See, when we do this math like this, in a case where one already got married and the money was used, she doesn't have to now to bring out money to reimburse her later sisters. But if they're getting married around the same time, this is how you would calculate it. Okay, let's hold it here.